Welcome. You're listening to a sermon podcast from Oak Hills Church in Folsom, California.
Well, it is the day and the weekend when we celebrate our country's 250th birthday, and that's a cool thing. That doesn't happen every day. We had some family over at our house yesterday to celebrate, and I heard our oldest son, Sam, say to our youngest daughter, Izzy, and to her boyfriend, "Do you guys realize when the country is 300 years old, we will all be in our 80s? I found that interesting. I don't think I'll be above ground for the 300th. But let's not get morbid on this glorious day. We thought the uniqueness of this weekend required a different kind of service today. A service that centered us on our Creator, Savior, and King. So you may have noticed, we began with a time of worship and did our best to use songs that had very little mention of I or me or we. Now, we work at this every week. You may or may not be aware of this, but we work at this every week. We spend time thinking through the lyrics of the songs we're going to sing and thinking through the elements of a gathering to do our best to make sure as to where they're pointing and what they're centered on. Where do the lyrics point us? Where do the lyrics center us? But because it's Independence Day weekend, we felt it was especially right and good to have a time of worship today that emphasized our dependence on God and our dependence on each other. A time of worship then that redirected our attention off of I, off of me, off of what I want, off of what I think I need, and focused instead on our triune God and eternal King, and on his call and his purpose for us as his church in the world. Now again, we hope to do this every week. We want to do this every week, but it seems especially good and necessary on the weekend we celebrate the 250th birthday of our nation. And so to start with, just to kind of get us into this, we want to also remember that we pursue dependence on God together. We talk about this all the time, that Christianity is a communal faith or a team sport, we might say. And it's good to remember that as we pursue God, we do so together. As we seek to redirect and reorient on God, we do so together. This is, shall we say, soccer, not tennis. There's a team aspect to this, and we pursue together. I was in the sixth grade when our nation celebrated its 200th anniversary. The year was 1976, and our year-long project in Mr. Miley's sixth grade class was to make a scrapbook of newspaper and magazine articles and pictures that commemorated our nation's 200th birthday. And one reason I remember this so vividly is because for that whole school year, I meticulously created this scrapbook. Not just any article or any picture was making the cut in my bicentennial scrapbook. They had to be top shelf. So I took extra care so that everything was organized and neat. I can still see the finished product of this project in my mind, the colored construction paper. I don't know what those things are called, but those sort of metal things you stick through the punched holes, fasteners, and then open them up. I had it all. But I have to say, I was deeply dismayed, discouraged, hurt when I got my present like this. You know, you might want to get over it already. Maybe he was right. Maybe the 250, I'll let go of the pain of the 200. The other reason, though, that I remember our 200th anniversary as a nation so vividly is that there seemed to me to be much blessings and opportunities we have as Americans. Now, obviously, I was only 12 years old, so maybe I missed all the friction and all the tension, but it just seemed like the country was more united. And this 250th anniversary, let's touch on those and talk about those now and then, but that's not the point today. spite of the challenges and weaknesses and struggles in our nation, I believe there are still many reasons for us to be thankful for our nation and for the freedoms we enjoy. And maybe especially for the many people and families who made ultimate sacrifices to preserve those freedoms, even though the gravity of those sacrifices some of those people and families made will echo in those families for generations to come. So it is good for us to be authentic about the weaknesses and imperfections of our country, but it is also good for us to be authentic and unapologetically grateful for our country. But beyond that, and certainly much bigger than that, the people of God, the church, every person who calls themselves a Christian needs desperately more than patriotism, more than social criticisms, more than political partisanship, and more than national fervor. We need to remember our first love, our first loyalty, our first priority. We need to remember that the way of Christ is a way of surrender. It is a cross-shaped life where we lay down self for Jesus' glory and the good of others. And so today we celebrate our nation's birthday and we give thanks for our many freedoms and opportunities, but we bow our knee and worship our Creator, our Savior, and our King. Our scripture from James is a prime example of the people of God getting sidetracked by self-interest and self-orientation. It is indeed a hazard of being human. James 4, starting in verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. I don't know about you, but this sounds like it belongs in a State of the Union address tomorrow. Yet James tells this early church, in a sense, you're divided. You're arguing. You're fighting. You're splintering because there's too much I and me and what I think and what I want in the equation. You are pushed and pulled by what you want and think you need, but along the way you've forgotten God. You've elbowed him to the back of the line. Even when you pray, James says, you pray with you in mind. You pray to get what you want. You pray and in effect say, your will be done, but it's not your will be done, it's really your will be done. Instead of following God, you want him to follow you. Instead of being his apprentice, you want him to be your apprentice. Instead of surrendering to him and his will, you want him to endorse your will. And as we've seen, our buddy James does not mince words and he does not tread lightly. And this whole chapter 4, of which the first three verses are the beginning, is the start of a whole section, really this whole chapter, where he reminds us as the people of God to learn the way of surrender. To remember we follow a king who laid down his life for others. As you well know, there are all kinds of opinions about what our nation needs to strengthen its weaknesses and to right its wrongs. But let me remind us of what the church needs to do to fulfill its calling in this world. And the Bible tells us this again and again, and history gives us many examples where the people of God, the church, did what they were called to do, and it left an impact. Our job, our calling, our priority as followers of Jesus and as his church is to live fully and fervently as God's people, faithful to him, dependent on him, surrendered to him, loyal first to him, as individuals, of course, but as communities of faith as well. Our role is in society as a church is to be a model of a different kind of society. A model of people who unapologetically and authentically believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. We believe he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into Hades. We believe on the third day he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there he will come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. So, the rest of our time today, we want to do our best to orient, and I'm going to be real specific here, to orient our thoughts, what we think about, our feelings, our attention, our worship, our prayers, and our devotion to the one, only one, only God, Lord Almighty, to the hope, only hope, triune hope, we bow down. I know how it goes and you do as well. And I'm not saying this in any way other than acknowledging what is reality. It is not easy. Just because we march through these doors or stroll through these doors at 9:50 or at 10:23, it is not easy to walk into this place and suddenly snap out of our self-interest and self-focus. It's not easy to march through these doors and have Manuel and this team call us to worship and snap out of our addiction to our phone and to screens and who communicated with us and who posted what and what are we doing after the fact. It's not easy to do that. In fact, it takes a lot of intentional effort to come in and redirect our attention and our focus around the one who is our King. So I want to ask you to do something for the remainder of our time that you may not want to do, and of course you have the freedom not to do. You may not want to do this because it may be beyond your comfort zone. It may throw a wrench into the typical way that you show up to a church gathering, and you may not want to do it because it is not easy. But I want to ask you to do the very best you can in the remainder of our time to give yourself as fully as possible to worship our King in the remaining minutes we have. You see, a worship service does not exist to serve us. Its purpose is for us to gather and together to serve God. To give our time, to give our thoughts, to give our energy and our attention to Him and for Him. And you know, sometimes I need to be reminded that a gathering like this is unique to most of the gatherings that I have in any given week. Because we gather together in this space for the sake of someone other than us. And that makes this fairly unique. We gather here to practice surrendering to God together. We gather here to practice prioritizing God above everything else, including our problems, our pains, our struggles, or the problems, pains, and struggles of our country or our world. See, this isn't the movie. Julie and I went to one recently, and before we left the house, one of us said, hey, I need a few more minutes. And I think I said, it doesn't matter. The first 20 minutes are going to just be previews. We don't need to see that. And we broke the plane of the door into the theater as the first scene was coming up. And you know what we thought? This is perfect. We timed this perfectly because we don't care about that other stuff. This isn't the movie. This isn't just a typical meeting. This certainly is not a production, and it is not a program. Because all those things we kind of watch, or we endure, or we consume. So on this day, this weekend, when we give thanks for our country and celebrate our nation's birthday, let's leave the I and the me and the what's next and the what's later and the who just texted me and who posted. Let's leave that for a season and together do our best to praise our Creator, our Savior, and our King. Would you pray with me, please? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune, almighty, everlasting, holy God who was and is and forever will be. We've gathered together here today in the name, in the power, in the reality that Jesus Christ is King over all things. And one day, every knee and nation will bow. And with head maybe looking up or down, proclaim, Jesus Christ is King. And we want to practice that today together. We want to bring our distracted selves as fully into this as we can and give our attention and our adoration to you. Psalm 96 reorients us. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. In the struggle to write the Constitution and agree on the particular wording in the Constitution, our founding fathers oftentimes got stuck along the way. They were together, united in wanting to find a way to draft a Constitution to guide and govern the way our nation would play itself out, but they got stuck and they argued and they fought and they had opinions and the I was on display in some of those conversations. And in one stretch, they weren't making a whole lot of progress, and Benjamin Franklin spoke up, and this is what he said. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time. The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business. In the middle of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln said, "It is the duty of nations as well, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." Father, Son, and Spirit, we worship you as our King and as our Lord. Continue to draw us into your story and into your life, that we as individuals and we as one local church might be working models of new creation, might demonstrate to this fractured world who you are, how good you are, and what life and relationship and hope can be like when it is lived in you. We thank you for our nation. We thank you for the freedom we enjoy. We thank you for the opportunities we have. And we thank you most especially that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we bow down to you, pledging in fresh ways to be your people and to follow in your footsteps. In Jesus' name, amen.